Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information.
Good morning. Welcome to our show number 554. You can hear some robins singing. Well, that is a recording. However, we're looking out the back window of the studios here in the South Shore of Massachusetts at a huge flock of American robins just devouring the berries on what we think is a choke cherry tree out there. That thing is going to be bare by the time those guys get through with it. They're being helped by one male northern cardinal. Meanwhile, it's late December, and this is a good time of year to get out there on an owl prowl. Amazing as it may seem, some species, like the great horned owl, start up the breeding season as early as December, so they are out there singing love songs. Barred owls will start announcing themselves too, and they are breeding by mid-January, with screech owls not far behind. And thanks to our new friend, Anita Celedonio Garma in Corona, California, who shared a short poem with us called The Owl, which he says he learned in grade school in the Philippines long ago. Here it is. Of all the queer birds I ever did see, the owl is the queerest by far to me. For all day long she sits in a tree, and when the night comes, away flies she. Thank you, Anita Celedonio. Thanks for listening out there in Corona, California. On our new Talkin' Birds blog, easy to find at talkinbirds.com, the story of how the Christmas side hunt became the Christmas bird count. It's a great story. Read about it right now on our Talkin' Birds blog there at talkinbirds.com.
Extra, extra. Read all about it.
Here are some of the things we invite you to check out on our Facebook page this week that we hope you will find interesting. How to keep rescued birds toasty? Put a sweater on them. Why some swans like to live near people and why some don't. Amazing bird photos from Trinidad from our friend Kim Nagy. You've got to see those there. And more about that Christmas bird count, including how to take part. Some of the things we hope you'll find worth checking out on our Facebook page at Talkin' Birds. Well, here's our conservation salute of the week. It goes to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who recently vetoed a bill that would have used public money to support what are called trap, neuter, release programs for feral cats, house cats living in the wild. The governor called the proposed bill problematic for a number of reasons, including evidence that shows the trap, neuter, release program does not reduce feral cat populations, and that feral cats have a major impact on wildlife, including threatened and endangered species and habitats and food sources for native predators. So our Talkin' Birds conservation salute to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. And as our friends at the American Bird Conservancy like to say, keep your cat indoors. Still to come on our show today, speaking of challenges to bird survival, we'll reprise a best of 2015 interview with National Audubon's Tom Auer about what scientists say is now the number one challenge faced by wild birds. We'll also present our regular features like our mystery bird contest that can win you a beautiful Droll Yankees feeder for your backyard, and our Let's Ask Mike with the one and only Mike O'Connor from Cape Cod's Birdwatchers General Store. And now, just in time for the Christmas season, owing to its mistletoe connection, we hereby present today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend. The genus and species name of today's featured feathered friend translate to English as something like greedy little mistletoe eater.
Weird, huh? Well, the little part makes sense, but we can blame that mistletoe-eater thing on a mistranslation by an 18th-century Swedish zoologist. Our bird is the least bittern, a denizen of fresh or brackish marshes, where it actually eats fish, frogs, crustaceans, and insects. It's a tiny heron, one of the smallest in the world, maybe a foot long, with a wingspan of about 16 inches. If you catch a glimpse of this elusive bird, you'll identify an adult by its long neck, long bill, dark brown or black crown and back, warm orange-brown neck and sides, orange and white stripes on the throat and chest, and this sound. The least bittern, whose habit of straddling marsh reeds allows it to feed in water that would be too deep, not only for itself, but even for larger herons who feed by wading. And like its larger relative, the American bittern, the least bittern can compress its body laterally, making it extremely thin, so it can fit through those narrow spaces between the reeds. John James Audubon once experimented with a young captive least bittern, whose uncompressed width measured 2 1/4 inches, and said the bird was able to walk between two books that were just 1 1/2 inches apart. A bird that would rather eat minnows than mistletoe, the least bittern, Ixobricus exilis, today's Talkin' Birds, featured feathered friend. Thanks again for being with us. It's our show number 554.
Well, in the wake of the Paris climate talks, at which leaders of 195 countries finally agreed to take the first steps to fight the effects of climate change, we're reminded that National Audubon scientists call climate change the number one threat to the survival of birds. This past summer, we talked about that with Audubon conservation data specialist Tom Auer, and we're about to revisit that August conversation.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Ray.
Great to have you with us this morning, Tom. Your colleague, Audubon Chief Scientist Barry Langham, is among those making that statement about climate change's enormous effect on birds. What is happening with that, Tom, and why is it so?
Right. Well, you know, we undertook a study to look at the potential future ranges or distributions of 588 species in North America. And our study found that more than half of those 314 species are threatened by climate change due to having their ranges shrink or shift by the end of the century. And any time that a bird has to shift its range, that represents a stress to the species. And obviously a shrinking or contracting range is a chance that we may lose a species. And so this was our finding, and it was very surprising and really led us to say that climate change is the biggest threat right now to birds, and it's fast by the end of the century.
Mm-hmm. How did this number of species end up being studied, this 588? How was that determined?
That was determined based on available data from the Breeding Bird Survey and the Christmas Bird Count. So we took data from both of those sets. For the winter, we used the Christmas Bird Count, and for the summer, we used the Breeding Bird Survey data, and we used that list of species based on whether we had enough data from those data sets to make statistically sound statements about those species.
Okay, so this is enough of, a data base on which to make some projections.
Yes, correct. We had a long enough record and enough data over the scale of North America to make statements about those species.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to understand, Tom, about the idea of birds shifting their ranges as a result of climate change. Some birds apparently able to do this more than others can. But what can you tell us about why specifically they do it? And is that the major problem of doing it, and that these birds, or is the major problem that they might simply not find the kind of habitat and food sources they need to survive when they make those shifts?
Right. So some species are more adaptable than others as it comes to climate. And so some of them may be able to make these shifts without much problem. And some species are kind of adapted to do that already. For example, Dick Sissel does this kind of based on drought across different years. And so maybe Dick Sissel can adapt more readily. But other species that are very tightly tied to a particular climate that determines what other species that they need are around, so say it's a tree species or an insect species or some suite of species that they require, if that climate shifts dramatically and really quickly, you know, climate change is happening at a rate in the recent years that we haven't seen on the planet in a long time, it may force these birds to move faster than they can adapt. And then when they do move, they may not find what they need there. So, for example, if you think of a cerulean warbler, for example, they require really mature, tall hardwood forests that are maybe 80, 100 years old. And if the bird is forecast based on climate to end up in Canada, where there aren't those species available, then that bird could be in trouble.
Well, what would cause specifically, let's say the cerulean warbler, in association with climate change, what would cause it to make that northward move?
Sure. So if the temperature or precipitation patterns change such that a food source that they need can no longer succeed, say maybe that an insect species isn't able to hatch under precipitation or temperature conditions, then they're going to have to move to look for food. Or, for example, if there's a drought and some plant species that they need dies off, then they're going to have to move to find a replacement for that.
Mm-hmm.
So these dramatic changes in temperature and precipitation that are forecast by the end of the century are what are going to propel species to move in response.
Is there a sense of what species or groups of birds are most affected, and will that change as the effects of climate change intensify?
Yeah, that's possible. You know, one of the groups that we found as being what we called climate endangered, a lot of species in the group were grassland species from the north central United States. So we're talking about species like burrowing owl, long-billed curlew, chestnut-collared longspur. That group of birds was forecast to have a lot of contractions within their ranges by the end of the century. And so the dynamics associated with climate and grasslands seem to indicate that those species may be at more risk than others.
Hmm. Oh, you haven't been able to collect sufficient data, Tom, to indicate the effect of North American birds in their winter ranges. But is it reasonable to conclude then that there are more birds under threat than you've been able to identify?
That's possible. There could be more species that are under this risk, but we are working on that. Audubon is continuing to revise the predictions that we've made. We're trying to pull in the latest climate science. We're trying to use the most up-to-date technology in terms of scientific modeling to make these predictions. So keep an eye on us for updates in the next few years on specific species and what risk climate change poses, because we'll be keeping that science up to date. This isn't a one-time effort. This is an ongoing process to make sure that we understand what risk climate change poses to all of our bird species.
And speaking of collecting data and the science, much of what you've collected has come from regular folks, I guess what we call citizen scientists now. And what more can regular folks do, to contribute beyond bringing data to bear?
Absolutely. You know, it's important that we continue to monitor these birds. We don't want to tail off on that. We need continued collection of the data. But beyond that, there are a lot of things that you can do even in your own backyard. You know, this study really shows that we need to up the amount of habitat that we make available for birds. We need birds to be strong in their current population so that they can maybe more easily weather the changes the climate brings. And so things, for example, like planting native species in your backyard. We've seen a number of studies recently that have shown that native species produce a lot more insects that are beneficial to birds, native bird species. And so replacing ornamental species in your backyard with native species is a really important thing that everyone can do in their own yard. And then reducing other threats that birds may face, either be it from cats or maybe from windows in residential homes, mm-hmm. but making sure that you're giving birds a safe place in your own backyard, because that's something that you have control over and something that you can act on today.
Tom, just quickly wanted to call attention to the special issue of Audubon Magazine from this past fall, a report entitled 314 Bird Species on the Brink, including the golden eagle. And it's really something. I've gotten some copies to distribute, but that can be read online too. Am I right?
Yeah, please check out climate.audubon.org. We have profiles for all of those 314 species, and we have animated maps and descriptions about the threat that the birds face due to climate change. I encourage everybody to go in, take a look at those, maybe find a bird that's in your backyard that might be threatened, learn more about it. And you can also read parts of our study to learn more about what we've done to understand the threat that climate change poses.
Tom Auer is a conservation data specialist with National Audubon. Tom, thank you so much for your great work, and thanks for being on with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ray.
Coming up next here on Talkin' Birds, it's our mystery bird contest in just 1 minute.
Did you know that winter is when backyard birds need our help the most? Birds' energy demands are huge in the cold weather, and natural food sources are scarce, especially during snow and ice storms. Here's an idea. As you're stocking up on winter supplies for yourself, pick up a feeder and wild bird food for your backyard songbirds. Look for the Audubon Park brand, a top choice among bird lovers for more than 40 years. This season, try the brand's new songbird selections with NutriThrive line, which is enhanced with vitamins, minerals, and essential fatty acids that birds need. But that have become scarce in the natural world. Like Audubon Park Bird Food on Facebook to join the conversation about feeding the birds. Audubon Park's products are made in the USA and meet the highest quality and safety standards in the industry. And Audubon Park's products are easy to find at your supermarket, lawn and garden store, farm and feed market, and online retailers. For more information, visit AudubonPark.com. That's AudubonPark.com. Get some for your backyard birds today. Audubon Park Wild Bird Food.
Talkin' Birds is made possible in part by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, a world leader in the study, appreciation, and conservation of birds. Please check them out at birds.cornell.edu. That's birds.cornell.edu. On the Mystery Bird Contest, you are eligible to win our fabulous feeder from Droll Yankees if you haven't been a winner here on Talkin' Birds in at least 6 months. And by the way, if you're not hearing our Sunday morning show live where you are, there is a way to do so, and it's pretty easy. And you can listen to our show live online. It's live online every week, every Sunday morning. Just go to talkingbirds.com and find the very easy instructions on how to do it. Tim and I even can, we know how to do it. All right, very easy. Talkingbirds.com. Our number, and we urge you always to call as early as possible in the process here so that we have enough time to complete our mystery bird contest. The number is 781-837-4900. That's 781-837-4900. Our prize is the Droll Yankees Double Suet Feeder. We're not kidding around with this one. This holds two suet cakes or raw suet or fruit. Perfect for treating your backyard birds to their favorite suet or fruit. It attaches securely to a pole or it can be hung up with the included heavy-duty chain. That would be our prize, and this would be the sound of our mystery bird. Kind of a cool-sounding bird. Our mystery bird is common on the Arctic tundra and winters in open fields across much of the U.S. and Canada. Our bird is a medium-sized sparrow-like bird with a short, thick, pointed bill, white outer tail feathers, and streaked sides. The male sports a black face and chest and a rust-colored nape on the backside of the neck. It feeds by foraging on the ground, mostly for seeds and insects. So there's the sound and a couple of clues there about our mystery bird. What do you think it is? By all means, take a guess or tell us if you know for sure. But in any case, a drawing will determine our winner if nobody gets the exactly correct answer. 781-837-4900 is the number. 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, in our Let's Ask Mike segment coming up here, the phrase Dear Mike takes on a whole new meaning. Let's ask Mike in just 1 minute. Public ferry service to the Boston Harbor Islands has ended for the season, but you can still visit the beautiful Boston Harbor Islands peninsulas open year-round. World's End in Hingham, Deer Island in Winthrop, Webb Memorial Park in Weymouth, and Nut Island in Quincy. They're connected to the mainland and accessible by car, offering stunning views of Boston Harbor and its islands, plus birding, hiking, biking, and cross-country skiing. Enjoy your national park all year long. For more information, please visit bostonharborislands.org. Here on Talkin' Birds Now, a message from our friends at Ducks Unlimited.
Since 1937, Ducks Unlimited has been a world leader in wetlands conservation, ensuring safe passage for nature's most beautiful creations, protection against flooding, and sanctuary for the human soul. we don't want to grow old in a world without wild places, we must speak up. We must step up so that we may fill the skies for generations to come.
Time for our Let's Ask Mike segment with Mike O'Connor. Down at the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Ray.
We have a question here from Marty out in Great Barrington, Mass. And listening out there to our affiliate station, WSBS, 860 AM and 94.1 FM. She says, I know that people have lots of problems with squirrels entering their bird or emptying their bird feeders. We have that issue, too, but we also have another creature that's outdoing the squirrels, white-tailed deer. In a way, I don't mind because it's pretty cool to see them so close, but I'm just wondering if this is normal behavior, says Marty from Great Barrington. I think this is really a question for our other show, Talkin' Deer. But I guess we could try it. What do you say, Mike?
Sometimes I like to expand, you know, push the envelope a little bit, get out of the comfort zone.
The Deer Watchers General Store.
You know, it's funny because we do have, I think, a picture back there of some a customer brought in a feeder with a deer eating out of it. Mm. And that's where I got your question, Marty. First, I thought we had the only picture. Now, when you reported, so I kind of Googled it, went on to Google images of deer and bird feeders, and it seems like it's not that isolated. There's a lot of people out there with deer out there. You know, there's some really cool pictures of deer chomping on feeders. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, I can't really offer you any suggestion how to stop that because you don't seem to be upset. You know, I guess if you wanted to, you know, you could raise them up a little bit higher or hang them from a tree and, you know, all that goes with that. But, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, chickadees and cardinals are fun, but to see, like, a white-tailed deer out there with a family or a couple of them, that would be awesome. So,
enjoy that.
It doesn't seem like happens to a lot of people, but it's certainly from the Google images, there's quite a few. And I think as they've gotten used to people and they're taking advantage of the food we offer them, they're getting a little bit more comfortable. They're going to exploit the food just like the birds are.
And
in Great Barrington, I think you've got a fabulous bird store there too, right? Don't you? I think they do. Somebody, Jody, I've been in that store. She's very nice. So
okay.
If you're down there, Marty, go say hi to Jody and check out her store.
All right.
I'm just giving a little plug there.
Nice plug. I hope she appreciates it. Marty, there's your answer. And hey, we'll talk to you next week, Mike.
Okay, Ray.
Thanks.
Bye.
Got a question for Mike? Send it in by all means. Pretty easy to do. I think everything's easy around here. It has to be for us to, be able to handle it ourselves. So we make it easy for you. Just send the question to ray@talkinbirds.com. No G in talking. Mike will answer your question. And by the way, if you'd like a signed copy, signed by Mike, that is, of his latest book, Why Do Bluebirds Hate Me? Entertaining answers to all your bird feeding questions. We'll include your mailing address along with your question. Again, the address is ray@talkinbirds.com. Meanwhile, we're back here at the Mystery Bird Contest, trying to identify this bird for the prize of a Droll Yankees double suet feeder. Here's the sound of our mystery bird. Our mystery bird is common on the Arctic tundra. But you don't really have to go there to see it. It winters in open fields across much of the U.S. and Canada. Our bird is a medium-sized, sparrow-like bird with a short, thick, pointed bill, white outer tail feathers, and streaked sides. The male sports a black face and chest and a rust-colored nape, the backside of the neck. It feeds by foraging on the ground for seeds and insects. That is our mystery bird. What do you think it is? 781-837-4900 is the number to call. And David is with us from Lancaster, New Hampshire, I believe that is. I think we have David there up in Lancaster. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
How are you? How are you, David?
I'm great.
Great to hear from you. Where is Lancaster? I'm not familiar with that particular town.
Lancaster is north of Franconia Notch and northeast of Mount Washington, right on the Connecticut River, about 20 miles northeast of Mount Washington.
Okay, so you're kind of way up there.
That's right.
Yeah, it's nice. So that must be beautiful country there near the Connecticut River. Lots of bald eagles maybe flying around there?
Yes, and in fact, we have a golden eagle in the area.
Wow. Wow, pretty cool. Have you seen it yourself?
I've attempted to, but I haven't yet.
All right. Well, good luck with that, and good luck on our mystery bird contest. What do you say our mystery bird is, David?
Snow bunting.
A snow bunting. Tim is giving a kind of a look of that's a good guess, but not exactly right look he's got there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, David. Try us again.
Right.
And good luck with that golden eagle.
Thank you.
All right, David up in Lancaster, New Hampshire, with a guess of a snow bunting. That's a wonderful bird to see at this time of year, but it's not our mystery bird. 781-837-4900 is the number to call. What do you think our mystery bird is? Will you have a Droll Yankees double suet feeder as your reward if you have the correct answer, or maybe even if you are chosen in a drawing if no one gets the correct answer? Tim is writing furiously there to get us connected with Cody, who's in Madison, Wisconsin, over there by Lake Mendota, maybe. Hello, Cody.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you. I've spent a little time in Madison, so I know Lake Mendota and Lake Monona, right? The two beautiful lakes there are kind of surrounding the downtown almost. Is that about right?
That's true.
Yeah, so anyway, how'd you find our show, Cody?
Through the podcast.
All right. Well, it's good to hear from you. And what do you think our mystery bird is?
My guess is Lapland Longspur.
That is not only a top-quality guess, but that is absolutely correct. Lapland Longspur. Really interesting bird and very colorful bird as far as the male is concerned. And I'm guessing you may have some around the Madison area. Have you seen some?
We do. I have not seen one yet.
All right. Well, good luck with that. And you had some hot spots there for birding up around Madison?
Oh, yeah. I like to go to the Audubon Center specifically.
Mm-hmm. Right there in Madison?
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Cody, and go Badgers.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Thank you, Cody. Stay on the line. We'll get your address and send you that Droll Yankees feeder.
Excellent.
All right. I went to a Badgers game out there once in Madison. Man, that is quite a scene. College football out there is a pretty big deal. Okay, so that was our mystery bird, the Lapland Longspur. Sometimes these birds occur. We were talking about robins earlier in the big flocks. Lapland Longspurs in the winter have been seen in flocks as large as 4 million birds. During snowstorms, flocks collide with lighted structures, sad to say, like radio towers. And really sad to say, thousands sometimes are killed in a single night. As we learned not long ago, longspur, by the way, refers to the elongated claw of the hind toe. I want to go back here to robins here for a minute while we have a little bit of time left, because we have something... Well, we have all these robins right behind the radio station here in what we think is a choke cherry tree, and they are knocking off those berries in fine fashion here this morning. There's got to be at least a dozen or 15 American robins out there. And people around the northern part of the U.S., you know, think of robins as the bird of spring, but, you know, a lot of robins stay around all winter in the northern part of the U.S. Some of them do move south. In fact, most of them do, but they are not migrants heading to Costa Rica or South America or anything like that. They move mostly in response to food rather than temperature, with fruit being their major winter food source. Well, they'll come back up here as the temperatures get up near 40 degrees, and then they will often begin their spring singing when that happens. Amazing birds and beautiful, the American robin. If they weren't so common, everyone would be gaga over them. Hey, we are out of time for our show this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. And before we forget, we don't want to forget to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all. Executive Producer Mark Duffield, Associate Producer Debbie Bleacher. Our engineer is Tim McKenney. I'm Ray Brown. See you next week.
The Bird Show. I like that. I love it.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Bird Watchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds, I love that show.